Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the El Paso Conservative. Now, in this episode, or I should say in this short segment, we will be talking about quite possibly the best showdown in American politics at this moment. And that, of course, happened on Tuesday. The showdown, I would say showdown, the showdown of the ages, the absolute slobber knocker that it was between President Trump, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer over border security. Ooh, boy. It didn't go good. So what happened, for those of you who didn't see it? Well, here's what happened. President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence held a meeting with soon-to-be House Minority Leader, House Majority Leader, I apologize, Nancy Pelosi, and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer over border security. Now, as you know, in the 2016 election, President Trump's main running point was that he wanted to build a wall. I'm pretty sure that's not lost on any of you. So I will just say that to summarize. Those of you who don't know that, well, you got some catching up to do. So, what ended up happening yesterday? Well, there was a debate that turned into quite possibly the most entertaining thing I have ever seen happen in the White House. And I'm not kidding. So the issue here amongst these individuals, between the Republicans headed by President Trump and the Democrats represented by Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, is the issue of funding the border wall that was proposed, again, in 2016. Now, we've seen these types of debates before. However, not as a discussion with the president. We have seen filibusters in Congress over different issues. For example, Ted Cruz's filibuster of Obamacare, which occurred in 2014, I believe. But we have seen these types of debates or these types of injunctions before. However, not face-to-face with presidents. In the case of Ted Cruz, I don't believe he ever gave his entire filibuster speech to President Obama in the White House. So the issue here is funding the border wall. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What are the takeaway from this meeting? Well, the takeaway from this meeting is that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are hypocrites. And I don't mean that in a, oh, well, they're hypocritical Democrats. No. I meant hypocritical in the best possible way that I could have meant that word. Sorry. Train of thought got lost for a second. But yes, they did show, especially Chuck Schumer, who earlier in the election cycle, or earlier in the year, shut down the government with a majority Senate being Republican. Now, in 2017, the issue had come up to fund the government. That was the budget hearing for the federal government. However, Chuck Schumer and his colleagues, hesitant to call them colleagues, shut down the government over a shoehorned DACA proposal. They said if we did not get funding for DACA, and if President Trump does not reinstate DACA, that they would shut down the government. And as we all know, there was a shutdown. People weren't happy. So, here we are again. Same time, same place, same shutdown. However, it's over border security. And that really shows, in my opinion, and not to mention the fact that Chuck Schumer had threatened and did shut down the government, while as opposed to President Trump wanting to do the same thing. However, I will call to attention the reasons for doing so. DACA and border security. I understand DACA was a very important program, but it goes to show just how much Schumer and his Democrats will fight for people who entered this country and not for those who are in this country. Now, I guess you could make the argument that, yes, they are here in this country, but they were brought into the country is what the point that I'm heading at, and not specifically born in the United States. They are foreigners, basically. And it surprises me to think that a political party who believes in the people, who is a voice for the people, fights for foreigners instead of the issues facing its own citizens. I mean, President Trump is willing to shut down the government over border security. And in this showdown, he did state that they are bringing, or they are criminals coming into the country, which is true. I don't know if any of you, and this is slightly off topic, but I don't know if any of you are familiar with the caravan situation. Now, the caravan situation started very good. I'd say the premise of the caravan to escape economic problems in a country that's going downhill is a good cause to escape a country. However, along the way, they started picking up criminals. Instead of picking up people who only wanted to cause harm, not only to the United States, but to the countries that it was traveling into. They were throwing rocks at Mexican officials at the border of Mexico and Guatemala. So you tell me that criminals don't pass through illegally. Because it happens. Drug mules do this all the time. They do come, they are here. I don't believe that it is to the level that is said, but we know that they're here. We live on the border. The border is my backyard, almost. So I know firsthand that they are here. It makes more sense to me that we, especially us who live in El Paso, who see the border on a day-to-day basis, not care about our border. It's hard for me to think that a city such as El Paso, which, for those of you who don't know, is in the great state of Texas. Texas is very Republican, however, this specific county is Democratic. And it doesn't make any sense to me why a city who's so close to the border votes Democrat. Because Schumer has shown that they don't care about us. They don't care about people on this side of the border. They care about people on the other side of the border. They just want to make it easier for them. And that's what's surprising to me, that we can't have this discussion without being labeled, you know, being racist, xenophobic, whatever the word term is nowadays. I find it hard to believe we, as a city, so close to the border, as I mentioned, can't have a civil discussion about what border security is and what it would mean. I think President Trump said this perfectly. Yes, I do want people to come into this country, but I want them to come here on a merit-based system, which I think is fantastic. Because, yes, we can't just close off the border and say no one's coming in. No. We want them to come, by all means. They want themselves to make, they want to make themselves a better life here, the greatest country on earth. Who are we to stop them from coming in here? However, they have to come in here through our terms and not theirs. We can't have an open border where everyone floods in to the country, because we have no control. We have no quality control. Whoever comes in is just, okay, first come, first serve. No, that's not how this works. However, this may be interpreted, because I know the vast ways of how language can be used against somebody. But it's very fascinating that we can have this discussion. Now, in this battle, I keep referring to it as a battle, it was more of a one-sided battle with President Trump completely, I would say, in my opinion, shutting down Schumer and Pelosi. However, Pelosi didn't have a dog in this fight. It was mostly Trump and Schumer, which I thought was fantastic. If you have not seen the video, go ahead and watch it and come back here and tell me that isn't funny. Anyways, back to point. What I'm trying to say here is just that. In the issue of border security, we as a city can't listen to a party solely because they think and we think that they have our best interest in mind. That is exactly the reason why Trump was elected in 2016 and why Ted Cruz beat Beto O'Rourke in the midterms this year. Because, and this is a very simple explanation, because they tackle the issues that we as Americans deal with. They're not concerned with people on the other side of the border. They put America first. Put our needs first. That is why the conservatives are never reported on, because they care about this country, and the media likes to switch it around. Oh, they don't care. The Democrats are the ones that care. I find it hard that the conservatives are working for the American people, and then the media goes and twists that to special interest groups. They're working for the special interest, because of course they are. That's not to say that the media is solely responsible for the more liberal leanings of the city or in the nation in general. I should generalize, because not a lot of people understand where we're at. So we'll generalize here. It's not the media's fault that democratic ideals are solely, I should say, transmitted through them. It's not just the media's fault. And I know that's pretty weird to hear, but it's also the fault of people who are not educated enough on both sides of the argument here. And I find it weird that people start to formulate their own ideas after only hearing one side of an argument. Now, I understand that the border wall would be very expensive, but I like the way that President Trump has said this. President Obama and Secretary Clinton gave Iran $150 million, but they can't, so Democrats can't give border security or the wall $30 million for it to be funded. Very interesting when you put it that way. Because we tend to associate President Obama in this country and in the more liberal counties as this great president with charismatic views and overall just a good guy. I'm not going to debate that he's not a good guy. President Obama is a great guy. Good president? That's debatable. With the Iran deal. And, of course, Obamacare. Which, of course, is a different issue for a different episode or a different segment. So, the issue comes down to Trump, the border wall, and Democrats unwilling to fund it. Now, you don't need a math degree to know that in order to get a majority vote in the Senate, you need some Democrats. That's just the way this works. Will the wall get funded? Yes, I believe so. will it be an easy fight to get the votes needed, the Democratic votes needed, to secure this? No. I don't think it's going to be that easy. Because if it were that easy, we would have had a border wall by now. Do I think it's a lost cause? No. I believe that the wall will be built. Will we ever get reports on that? Most likely not. But I do believe that the border wall is something that will be coming. If the government has to shut down to do it, then it will get done. And I think it's great that President Trump shuts down the government for the border wall, because it shows where his heart is, where his mind lays. He doesn't want to shut down the government. That's the one thing he doesn't want to do. But he believes so strongly that we do need these secure borders that he will shut it down, because he has our interests in mind. This is the exact reason why people like myself, people in the state of Texas, people in the state of Florida, people in the state of Oklahoma voted for him, because we knew and we understood that he had the interests of the American people in mind. And we knew, at least in my case, I can speak of experience, in 2016, I did not like both candidates. They both seemed iffy to me. Or at least the two main candidates that emerged from the conventions, and not the primary candidates. Because that was fun. The whole primaries, great, great fun. If you haven't seen them, the great epic moments from them, go and watch them. You'll have a good laugh. But I digress. Here's the thing. Some of you may not agree. Some of you might. And that's fine. That's what this country was founded on. We have a civil debate. I can talk to you about your viewpoint. You can talk to me about my viewpoint. And at the end of the day, we may not always agree. That's great. We don't always have to agree. But we do have to have compromise. We do have to have some even ground, some common ground. We can say, you know what? You're right. We can both agree on that. And I think when it comes down to the looming government shutdown, or what's been dubbed as the Trump shutdown, because, you know, everything with the name Trump on it obviously means that it's bad. It's the worst thing on earth. Which is, again, just another clever... I hate to use the word clever without sarcastically gesturing the quote. But it's another way for the Democrats to, or the liberal media, I should say, to say that it is solely the responsibility of President Trump. And it really isn't. It's not. I can tell you that much. See, what this boils down to is bipartisan support between the Senate majority, which are the Republicans, and the Senate minority, which are the Democrats. They need to understand that the American people do want border security. They ran on that platform before. Bill Clinton said it. President Obama said it. And that was fine. But when Trump said it, it was, oh, we're going to burn the White House down, everybody inside. They need to understand that the interests of the American people lie in America. And they do not lie in Mexico. They do not lie in Guatemala. They don't lie in Canada. And they don't lie in the Middle East. They lie in America. And the American people, through the right to vote, have elected a man who wants border security. I know this isn't representative of all of America, but the majority want border security. It is about time that the Democrats and the Republicans come up with bipartisan support for the law. I'm not saying by any means that the Democrats give up and just say, you know what, here's your funding. No. Because that's not getting us anywhere. We need to talk our differences out. The Democrats have to lay out their grievances with the border wall, and the Republicans have to lay down their pros for the border wall. If we are to achieve anything, they must talk it out. We must tell them to talk it out. This is the only thing, way that's going to happen. Much like the government shutdown in 2017 with the DACA vote, we need to talk, because we can't keep shoehorning issues into budgets. And it shouldn't be a question of, will the government shut down? It should have never have come to a shutdown. If Congress had agreed, this could have been well avoided. Much like the DACA incident 2017, which I will continue to refer to in the duration of this segment or episode, if we happen to go long enough. So, what needs to happen? First off, we as a nation, we as Americans, need to know the facts. We need to know the facts before. I mean before we even think about formulating our opinions. Because I can tell you right now, most of the people who form their opinions now were formed in the 2016 election in regards to this era of the America and this presidency. Their views were formed by the liberal left, or I should say the liberal media. I don't know why I said left, but the liberal media, who completely took the words of President Trump out of context. There's a great video on YouTube that actually goes more into depth in this issue. I would highly recommend you seek it out. It is called The Untold Truth of Donald Trump, which basically this man goes through the entire era or the entire lead up to the 2016 election and shows how the media stretched the truth, how they misreported the statements that Donald Trump had spoken. And I highly suggest that you seek this out. The video is The Untruth About Donald Trump, and there are 3 episodes on this subject. If you wish to go learn more, I highly suggest you do. It is a very informative series. If you don't agree or have more liberal views than myself, go ahead, go and watch the video. Educate yourself on what actually was said and how the media twists it. In this city I find myself in, it's almost impossible to escape the liberal media. It's to a point where they run unopposed, where they report as they see fit, which of course is what the Wall Street Journal does and the Washington Post does. I am not saying that there aren't biased news sources. There are even biased conservative sources. So it's kind of hard to tell now what to believe. But this video, for me at least, sealed the deal as to why I do agree with Donald Trump on his policies, why I agree with the president on most everything that he says, or everything that he says in regards to, well, whatever he happens to be speaking about. So what do we do now? That's the whole question looming over the country at this moment. What do we do? Will there be a government shutdown? why can't Congress get along? Is really the question we should be asking. So, the question at large of whether Congress should get along or can get along is one that it goes a long way back to, I would even go far as to say, President Bush in the modern era. Or as late to say as the second term of President Obama. It is notorious that under the Obama administration, the Congress was unable to pass or did not pass as many bills or sign bills into law as previous Congresses during different periods under different presidents. We know this, it's a fact. But why? Why has Congress not been able to get along? Well, I think it boils over to not wanting to have bipartisan support. If you go back to the incident in 2017 with the government shutdown, we can see for ourselves that the entire session was dedicated to the renewal of the budget for the 2018 fiscal year, which was about to come up. And there was a filibuster of this budget by Chuck Schumer over DACA. Even though it had completely nothing to do with the budget. It's times like these where I feel like everybody has to have their two cents in. And here's what I mean. The Democrats, and mainly Chuck Schumer here, I'm not pointing the finger at all Democrats, I said Chuck Schumer, should have waited until the budget had went out in order to call Congress back for a decision on DACA. There was absolutely no reason why the government had to shut down for however long it shut down. I believe it was an hour. Over 15 minutes. Don't quite remember the length that it shut down. But it shut down. And no, it wasn't as bad as the Obamacare shutdown, which did occur in 2014. So, keep saying that a lot. I apologize. But I'm kind of thinking on the fly here. I have my notes written down, but mostly this is just my opinion. With that being said, sorry about that. With that being said, why can't this issue be, again, on its own merit? Well, I suppose the reason or the answer to that is because the question of the border wall has to be included in the budget, which is why it's such an important topic. And it is. It's been an issue, it's been a hot topic ever since it was brought up in 2016. But my question here is, why would the Democrats not want to fund the border wall? Because they believe it's racist, is the most common answer that I get. And if that's the case, let me tell you something. Living so close to the border, I get a nice view every morning of this fence that goes all along the border with Texas and Mexico. I see the ports of entry all the time, and I see a nice view of this fence. If you sit here and tell me that that fence is no more a separation, a divide, a quote-unquote wall to separate Mexico and the U.S., and that has not worked? Boy, let me tell you. You can't sit there and tell me that, oh, we don't need a wall. If that's the case, we wouldn't need a fence. The reason the fence is there is because Border Patrol agents were injured trying to patrol an open border. That fence was put there to separate, to keep the agents safe, and to separate the U.S. and Mexico. And that was passed by who? Bill Clinton in the 90s. And the Democrats love that idea. Yes, separate Mexico and the U.S. Yes, keep those that want to do harm to our citizens out of the country. Now, all of a sudden, when Trump says that, he's labeled as a racist. He's labeled as xenophobic. He's labeled as a hater of minorities. And I can't wrap my head around that. Because the same people who say that Trump is racist are, in the lawmaking sense, in Congress, are the same people that put funding for the fence for Bill Clinton. And nobody calls him racist, although they do, I guess to be fair, do call him a lot of other names, which is true. I'm not saying that former President Clinton is a bad guy, by all means, but there are things that people say. So let's look at the facts here. Okay. Trump does not hate anyone. He fights for the interest of Americans. Note, I did not say he fights for the interest of white Americans, black Americans, Hispanic Americans, Mexican Americans, I believe is the technical term, Asian Americans. No, he fights for Americans. He does not care what ethnicity you are, what race you are, or what religion you are, because he's fighting for America, and you are Americans by default, because you are here in the United States and you are citizens. So he's fighting for you, and you have the audacity to say that he's racist. If that's the case, he wouldn't be fighting for me. He would only be fighting for those people in Washington. And he's not. If he was fighting for those in Washington, I can guarantee you that that Congress would have handed him everything he wanted. Because it's their interest. The only reason they're not is because it's our interests. It is the interest of those people who voted that man in office. Because we knew. We knew he was going to do it. We knew he was. He delivered. He appointed a Supreme Court justice, which he was going to do. Although that's another topic for a different episode at this point. We knew he'd do it. And he's going to do it. But yet we've come to this standstill. We've come to this Mexican standoff. No jokes intended, of course. Between Pelosi, Schumer, Trump, the House Republicans, and the House Democrats. And there's a wedge between them that 20 years ago didn't exist because they all supported a strong border with President Clinton. But yet, they can't get behind the same idea with a different president. Huh. Interesting. Food for thought, obviously. So what does this mean for people like us, El Paso? Well, it means two things. One, we are obviously, none of us are ever going to be informed on both sides of the story. because one sees it one way and one sees it another way, it is hard to get objective fact from opinion. That's just the way things are. And two, none of us are educated enough to debate this issue with each other. This is coming from personal experience. I've run into people on Facebook, in public, at the university, who just regurgitate this democratic rhetoric of, oh, he's the wall's wrong because he's racist. And I bring up the fence, and they have no pun intended, a defense for it. So we, as a liberal city, close to the border, don't agree with border security, even though we know firsthand what border life is like. And we know exactly what it would mean to have a strong border and no border, because it's happened before. Before Clinton set up the fence, it was an open border. There was no fence. It was just the Rio Grande separating both the U.S. and Mexico. Now you look at it outside and there's a fence. If you believe the wall is racist, fellow people of El Paso, then you believe that fence is racist. You believe that Bill Clinton is equally a racist as was all the people in Congress who supported the bill that set up that fence, which would mean that most of the Democratic Party is racist. So it makes no sense to say that an object that would fundamentally secure the homeland is racist. Because it's not. You can't inherently call something racist solely on the grounds that a man who you have formed opinions about already and are not willing to do research on it is racist. You decide to label it before you even had the opportunity to look into it. And that is where we find ourselves in the city. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to have a civil discussion anymore, because in their heads, they're the ones that are right. And us conservatives, or I should say the conservatives in the city, sorry about that again, have a hard time actually debating people, because they just keep throwing out labels. If we come to support the conservatives, we're racist. If we support the tax cuts for the wealthy that just happened, then we're automatically a part of the system. We're a part of the conspiracy. If we support the Second Amendment, then we're killers. So it's hard to argue in a city where nobody wants to talk. I should say it's hard to debate in a city where nobody wants to debate. We just argue. And arguing isn't going to get us anywhere in this country. We can argue until the cows come home, but that isn't going to fix anything. In order to fix this issue, or at least to draw bipartisan support, we need to debate. We need to view each other's points and say, I don't agree with you. With what? I don't agree with what you're saying. However, here's my rebuttal. And we can have a conversation and talk about what we think is right, what we think is wrong, and come to a compromise. That's the type of thing that we need to see in Congress. But before we can see it at the big boy level, we need to see it at our level. We need to talk about it. But nobody ever wants to talk, because they always have their own opinions. And you can't simply come back with facts in this type of argument because they will always shut you down. And it doesn't help being surrounded by people who promote, who endorse the anti-Trump rhetoric that the left is using. I have heard it many times myself, and I've read it many times myself. I know it's there. I know it exists. I know that's what people in the city read, and I know that's where they get their information from. I'm not ignorant. I'm not stupid. I know what happens. I know how the media shapes public opinion. Just like the description in this, or of this series, or of this show says, the media in the city is public opinion. What the media says is what they believe. That's how it works. Should it work that way? No, but this is the way it works. So, will we get border wall? Will the battle between Trump and Schumer end with a victory for the conservatives or a victory for the Democrats? Well, here's what's at stake. For the Republicans and the conservatives, we have a funded border wall and a new budget for the 2019 fiscal year. The Democrats, if they win, get a government shutdown. Nothing gets productive. All government agencies, all government offices get closed. And they have absolutely nothing to show for it besides the honor, I guess you could say, of saying that they caused a shutdown. Because they couldn't agree. Now, what do we as Americans have to lose in this decision that will be made? Well, on the conservative side, we see that they are fighting for the country. They are fighting to have border security, and they are fighting for a budget to keep America stable. And on the Democratic side, we see a party whose only concern is people outside the country, who don't care about the interests of the American people, who care about the interests of everybody else before they even think about the citizen that put them in office. As citizens, we have the glorious right to choose which side we're on, Republican or Democrat. And that's perfectly fine. Listeners out there, many of you, I would assume, are conservatives, agree with my point of view. Those of you who are liberal, you're probably seething at the mouth, hearing me spout positive remarks about President Trump. And that's fine. But just as the point I was making earlier, we have to talk about it. You can't just simply sit there and type your hate mail towards the email address that I have for this account. Nor do I expect to get compliments from this email. Because that's not the way we talk. We need to sit down and have a discussion about border security. End of story. Will that happen? In other parts of the United States, possibly. In the city of El Paso, there's no way. We're never going to have a debate because people's minds are made up. I hope you guys enjoyed the first episode of the El Paso Conservative. Join me next time as we look into El Paso's chosen son, Beto O'Rourke, and his campaign for U.S. Senate. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great rest of your day, and I thank you very much for listening.